It's Friday. You know what time it is. Front Runner Podcast Collective is back on the air. I am your humble host, Vince, and we're to talk about the opening week, how it's going. We're going to start in LA. We're going to make our way to Boston. We're also going to talk about like Orlando and a couple other teams and do kind of a quick overview, snapshot of what we watched so far. And then also we're going to talk about the unfortunate situation in New Orleans. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the draft. Just a little bit. But before we get there, X, join us on X at Frontrunner PC and also at Rhea underscore Funch FRPC. It's a good follow. Keeps you abreast of what's going on with podcasts, what have you. I'm sure there are some interesting little tidbits here and there from myself, the host, Vince, and also the producers as well. The other thing is follow us on YouTube at Frontrunner Podcast Collective. Make sure that you're subscribing. Make sure you turn on those notifications and make sure that you're hanging out on the community page as well. Hope to see you there so we can go ahead and get into your comments and be able to interact with you on a different level. Then the last thing is, and it will be a friend, tell a friend about the podcast. Make sure that you are getting the word out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Keep it locked here with Front Runner Podcast Collective for all your NBA needs and all the funny items that come along with it. And without further ado, let's get into this new season. And let's also get into this like new beginning. It's so beautiful out there. There's a lot of hope, but there's a lot of promise. And we're going to start in LA. And you go, well, Vince, why would you want to start in LA? Because you've been really hard on the Lakers. I did tell you, I liked the JJ hire. I did. Now, I wanted to see, was he going to be able to implement his philosophies and what his stamp of the team would be? I think we got our end, right, in the first game. And we're going to start there. So, the Lakers entered a new era with J.J. Redick, who made Anthony Davis the clear focal point of the offense. This shift was on full display against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where Davis led the team with 36 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. While he was showcasing his abilities to dominate in the number one role, he just literally took over the game. He had a presence about him. He was involved in a lot of the offense in the sense of being able to touch the basketball. Anytime that you can have a engaged Anthony Davis on the basketball court the way he was, you're going to have a lot of outstanding outcomes that come along with it. He got open shots for other people because of his tenacity getting to the lane. And when he's getting fouled, it's a completely different animal. And that's what we saw in the first game. He punished Gobert as much as he possibly could. And you also saw a very engaged Rui Hachimura, which was, let's put it this way. It's one game. We're not tripping. We're not sitting here saying, hey, J.J. Redick has solved the cure to cancer. We're not saying all that. What we are saying is that this team looks engaged. They do have full plays that they run on out of timeouts, out of bound plays. You see them mixing up just the variants, just showing different looks, different times down the court. Now, if something was working so effectively, they didn't have a problem spamming that situation over and over until Minnesota made an adjustment. So all these things are plus plus on the side of JJ Redick and the effect that he's having on the Lakers. Now, the thing that I do want to talk about is that the Lakers have amped up 3-point shooting under Redick's guidance. The attempting of 43s in their season opener to create better spacing around Davis. Redick commented for us that taking 43s in it, that's promising. It's about the quality of shots, though, not just the volume. So he's still looking for great shot, not good shot. Turn down a good shot to get a great shot. And I know that is something that he is laser focused on. Also, what he's laser focused on are spinning pick and rolls. You saw Davis in a lot of action. You saw I love Austin Reeves was bringing up the ball. I love that Davis was out on the perimeter, getting to handle the ball, 2-3 dribbles, and then into a dribble handoff, passing it off to somebody in a different direction just to show the defense a different look. Because let's not get it twisted. LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, or Anthony Davis coming downhill, it's just a scary proposition for any defense that is slightly out of position. And that's all it takes. And if you look at the effectiveness of the movement of the offense, that's those little tweaks right there can make a real whole difference in what the Lakers could and could not be this year. But again, it is one game. So good early season to check in to see how they're doing. Love the offense. Love how Austin was being used. Like that LeBron took a backseat and we got to see Bronny. So Bronny came in for 2 minutes and 41 seconds, shot the ball twice, didn't look great, play a little defense, play with his dad. And then now he'll go on the road trip. You know, and then once he comes back, it's pretty much a G League for him. A lot of people will be upset about, oh my God, he took a spot from somebody. Yeah. There's two things that I want people to realize with this. With Anthony Davis being offensive anchor, you know what that's going to do? That's going to allow LeBron to rest a little bit more. You know what that's also going to do? That is also going to revive this man's career. Having Bronny on the team, this dude has played for like 3 more years. I'm telling you here first. LeBron James will make it to year 25. And it will be in a Laker uniform. And I think we need to go back to a quote that Bryce James said over the summer. I believe it was like on a TikTok video or something. Somebody asked him the question of, do you think your dad will be playing in the league when you're drafted? He said, nah, bruh. My dad is old now. You think he's going to be playing like 3 more years? That little comment right there. Because LeBron hears everything. I'm guaranteeing you, LeBron heard that and said, I have a new goal. I have a new mountain to climb. It's not enough that I get Bronny in the league, indoctrinated, and find his way and find whatever his little niche is in the league and get him secured. No. Now, I must see Bryce in the NBA. And if he's going to take up this role where Austin Reeves is going to be able to bring up the ball most of the time and be able to allow him to quick bursts have impactful situations in the game, well, also the while where you see Anthony Davis taking a pronounced role in the offense, yeah, you can extend this dude's career by 3 years. He was averaging 25 points a game last year. why do we not think that LeBron James couldn't average like 20 points a game in year 23, 24, or 25? I have no limits on this dude. I won't put any more on him. We should just be astonished every time we see him. And that's it. And shout out to Bronny in the sense of giving his dad an, I don't know, energy boost or whatever to keep him going. Because I just think the shenanigans between those two, because if you haven't seen it on social media before the first game, right? Got to get to the, you know, get your workout in, get all these things in, right? So LeBron is putting cereal in his son's car. This is a cereal, just pouring it in his car. So Bronny comes out to the car, opens the car, bunches of cereal come out. And there's LeBron in the Phantom, rolls the window down, says, "Hey, Rook, don't be late." And Bronny looks at him like, "Aren't you too old for that? Like, what this? What are we doing here? Come on, like, we're doing it like this?" So guess what? Bronny might be LeBron's Rook. And this is just going to be content all year. All year. And we got another content king coming up for you later in the podcast. So keep it locked here. The next thing that I want to get to with the opening, we're going to talk a little bit about Boston Celtics. Now, not a huge fan, but respect the brand, respect the franchise, respect what they do. And they raised their 18th banner, and then they went out and they played the Knicks, and they absolutely destroyed them. Tatum's shot looks dicks, and they went on a 3-point shooting barrage that I think would have made Steph jealous. Who else? Klay jealous. Who's another one? Ray Allen would have been jealous. Reggie Miller definitely would have been jealous. They shot 61 threes as a team opening night against the New York Knicks. 61. Now, they also made 29 of those bad boys. So you can imagine that the Knicks got mollywopped up in the garden on ring. Yeah, I think we are good in Boston. I think we understand what the intentionality is. We understand that Brown and Tatum are good to go. I don't think you see a lot of cavalier attitude, lazy shit attitude about, oh, we won one, so now we're made men. No. They had the exact opposite thought process than Andrew Wiggins. Now, harking back with me a couple years, right? 2022, the Warriors sneak out a championship. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins are sitting in the corner talking about, we'll get them. We want pay, we want to do this, we want to do that, we're made men, all this, right? These are all like comments and quotes that are going around these two dudes. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going, yeah, we got a lot to prove. We still got a lot going on here. We're not satisfied. We need to be playing like dogs. We have a renewed confidence going into this season. We know who we are. We have plenty of continuity, and there should be no reason that we do not go out here and try to get another. Now, they beat the brakes off the Knicks, so you would think, okay, that was kind of like a state game, right? That was something just for the Knicks. No. This is for everybody. These assholes are not just for certain individuals. Everybody can get these. Exhibit B, the Washington Wizards. Now, listen, the Wizards are not good, and they're not trying to be good. I understand that. So to think for 1 second that there would be a real competitive game going on here, I'm sure I'm probably asking for a lot. But this was the game last year Boston would have picked up. This is a game last year that Boston would have taken their foot off the accelerator. Now, Mazzulla's focus on shot creation is clear with Tatum frequently orchestrating the offense with drive and kick plays. If you look at the offense, the first two games, it has been a bunch of drive and kick. It has been aggressively attack the paint with intentionality and then kick the ball out to the three-point shooters. Now, not only did they shoot 61 threes in that game, they shot in the first two games 106 threes total. The mandate is clear. 45 threes are bust. That is the number they got to against Washington. They shot 38% from three, and you do the math. They won by 20. So it does look like the Boston Celtics do not have an NBA championship hangover. And Boston's pace and three-point emphasis look well-suited to take on East top teams, especially with Tatum and Brown leading the way. Because these dudes seem super pissed off about whatever happened with the U.S. national team or whatever. Now, maybe they won't say that in public. Maybe they also feel like they're being disrespected as a duo. Because when we talk about like the most feared duos, for some reason, their name doesn't come up. Now, I have had my thoughts on Tatum, and I told you in playoffs last year that I kind of lose the Mamba mentality mantra thing, and I believed it at the time. If he's going to continue to play like this, I don't know what's pushing him. I don't know if it's Jaylen Brown in his tenacity that is pushing Jason Tatum, but those two together are ferocious, and we might be seeing the best of them right now. So the team that won the championship last year, we might be seeing the best of them. Scary proposition for everyone in the East. But keeping it in the East, we have a lot going on in the East. We have storylines galore. And I want to bring our attention to the state of Florida. And the reason why I want to go there is because the Orlando Magic's dominance of the Miami Heat did not go unnoticed by this podcast. Now, it also went beyond the scoreboard. They demonstrated their defensive strength by holding Jimmy Butler to only 3 points the entire game. He shot one for eight from the field in 26 minutes. This game got away for them early. Now, it was a tough start to Butler's, if you want to call it his contract extension tour that he's going on. But we'll see how as the season plays out. Now, I will say this about the Miami-Orlando matchup. Miami likes to bully people. Unfortunately, what happens when the bully runs into a bigger bully? Because guess what Orlando likes to do? They like to bully, and they're better at it. Especially when you have Paolo Banchero, who can score 33 points, and he's 6'10", and he's 245 pounds. Then you add on Franz Wagner, who we said would be a key early on in the season as far as what he was going to be. Did he fix his shot? Was he going to shoot it less? How was he going to fix his efficiency issues that he was having? First game, we held it down. 23 points. He shot it well from three-point land. They shot 50% together as a combo from three because our guy popped for eight, and then Franz was 3 of 6. So it's a beautiful thing when you shoot 7 of 14 from your two production guys. Now, Jalen Suggs had an off game because he was in foul trouble, but don't you worry. Anthony Black, who is another guy that we talked about on this podcast, and we wanted to see some maturity. And when I say that, that sounds like I'm taking a shot at him. It's not. Maturity in his game. We wanted to see if he had a little more command of the offense, and it looked like he did, and he was still causing the same chaos because he's 6'6", 6'7", long arm, and I love his hair because he reminds me of Carlito from the Judgment Day on WWE. Now, played well. He scored 10 points, had 6 assists. Like I said, had showed complete command of the offense, and they also needed him. Again, Jalen Suggs ended up in foul trouble, but the two stars, Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, just opened up a whole can of ass for the Miami Heat, and they just destroyed them. Now, here is where the real stat will tell you. The Orlando matching, as far as rebounding is concerned, they beat Miami 57-41 on the boards. Now, only did they kill them on the boards in totality, they doubled up on the offensive boards. They had 18 offensive rebounds to 9 for Miami. Now, that's a stat that Spoelstra will absolutely lose sleep over. Now, I don't know what he's going to do when he sees the tape and he sees that all the guys are like 3-4 inches bigger than his guys and how that's going to work out. But Orlando might be a little bit better than what we thought. Just a little bit. But I will say this is that, again, what happens when the bully runs into a bigger bully? And that's literally what was illustrated that night, is that Orlando was just, physicality was more impactful. And you're going to need to bring your big boy pants when you play the Orlando Magic. Now, a couple other things to talk about that we really need to get to. OKC played the Denver Nuggets in a game where you're sitting, well, this should be really must-see team. Right? We got OKC, young team coming off their first real, like, elongated playoff run. How are they going to react to it now that you are the hunted, not the hunter? All of these things. Guess what? The Thunder went into Denver and stunned them and just blitzed them. Led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring and Chet Holmgren's defensive versatility, Denver struggled with their spacing, especially with lineups featuring Russell Westbrook, Peyton Watson, Julian Strother, and Jamal Murray. We talked about in the Western Conference preview that Jamal Murray could not get off to his usual, I start off slow, you'll start the real Jamal Murray around Christmas time. And then once we got into the new year, Jamal Murray was fully formed and ready to go. It was imperative that Jamal Murray got off to a hot start this year because that they were relying on so much of the young guys that they've drafted over the last couple of years. And even though that Julian Strother played okay, Peyton Watson didn't really give him too much of anything. Now, Christian Brown did show up. He scored 17 points, but OKC, they were not really just honoring the three-point line when it came to the Denver Nuggets whatsoever, because they didn't have anybody scary other than Michael Porter Jr. Now, SGA shot an impressive 57% on contested attempts, breaking through Denver's defense, while Holmgren did his best Jokic impersonation. Holmgren had 25 points. He had 14 rebounds. He also had 5 assists. He had 4 blocks. He had 2 steals. Chet, year 3, but really year 2. Rookie year, missed the whole year, right? Last year, would have won Rookie of the Year, but we had Victor Wembanyama win it. This year, told you Oklahoma City, we picked you to be the number one seed, and it's coming to fruition. They looked incredible. They looked faster. They looked king. They got to loose balls. They had hands in the passing lanes the whole game. It just seemed that they were the better team. And that's a scary proposition if you think about it when it comes to the Denver Nuggets, because we continue to perennially put them as a contender in the NBA title contention. The problem is this year is that Jamal Murray is not Jamal Murray yet. And unless Jokic is willing to go outside his comfort zone and basically carry the team, which usually he is a deferrer of the basketball. He wants to pass. He wants to have like incredible efficiency. He wants to shoot like 15 times, hit 10 of them, you know, that little, and then play beautiful basketball. This might be the one time that Jokic has to let go of his European upbringing and embrace the star-driven, you know, look at me, it's my time, I got to get all these shots, American style of basketball. Because that's the only way his team is going to be truly competitive, unless there's a trade made where they can add another like impactful guy. A complete class difference last night, or yeah, the other night between OKC and Denver, and it was stark. Now, Denver's lack of spacing, that's going to be something they're going to have to address. Michael Malone is going to have to come up with lineups that work. We will see. We've been telling this story the whole summer about the kind of power struggle between Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. And obviously, just kind of won because the vets are not there anymore. Now, Russell Westbrook did get a lot of playing time. He looked like, you know, you're going to have good games with Russ. You're going to have bad games with Russ. He was 2 of 10. So it was kind of a bad game. He did have a really nice block coming from behind, not giving up on the play. So I'm not going to kill Russ all one game, but the spacing is an issue, but it's not just Russ's fault. You know, those guys are going to have to knock down threes. They're going to have to command respect at that three-point line. And right now, Denver doesn't have enough guys that teams respect at that three-point line. we're going to move on to, honestly, my favorite player in the NBA right now, Anthony Edwards. He is absolutely musty. It is not just basketball. It really isn't. The basketball is a huge part of it, but there's no denying Anthony Edwards is the realest dude in the NBA. Okay. Oh, he's played two games so far. He played opening night against the Lakers. Didn't go so well. Now he scored 27 points. He shot 5 of 13 from beyond the arc. He really kept them in it. He also provided all the energy that team lacked. It looked like Julius Randle was being held hostage personally. Now, we'll get to him in the Sacramento game because it was a completely different story. But I want to go back to the Laker game and kind of key in on Anthony Edwards because it was a TNT broadcast. Shout out to Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kenny DeJesus-Smith for holding it down and giving us a ton of laughs that night in this whole year. We are looking forward to it. Now, they had Edwards mic'd up, and it was comedy. He was, first of all, the team obviously wasn't with like a ton of energy. He was telling them, clapping his hands, let's go. He kind of reminded me of a linebacker coach that worked in the SEC, you know, just like, we're getting killed out there. You need to play with more fire, blah, blah, blah. He's just doing all this, like, let's go. There was a point where he admonished himself. He was like, I need to take that open three. No. And I need to knock that down for my guys. Like he's talking to himself out there, which is great. And then there was a time where he looked over to the bench and he hit a three. He told Jay, he's like, you like that? You like what you saw right there? You see that, right? Now, there was some more chirping down the road or whatever, but I think he also, Jared Vanderbilt must have said something on the bench. And I can't say what Anthony said, but I'll paraphrase. He was like, you haven't played in like 2 years, right? So Anthony Edwards was given to everybody, plus he was giving us the points. Now, it didn't go successful that night. Obviously, we talked about the Lakers' win and what they did, but he went up to Sacramento and said, they were playing like another game where it looked like the game was in the balance. And now you know what Sacramento has up there, right? Sacramento has DeRozan now, who's one of the clutch players. Like I think he won the award last year. The clutch player of the year, like 2 years ago, De'Aaron Fox. Hell, Domantas Sabonis was shooting threes. He hit 3 of 4. I mean, it was crazy up in Sacramento. The vibe was crazy. You had the fans just going nuts. And there's Anthony Edwards just staring it down. Now, was it efficient? No. But when his team needed him, and also Julius Randle put in 33 as well. But when his team needed him, Anthony Edwards produced. And he hit a cold three. He hit a cold three. They won 117-115. So they came to Cali. They split in Cali. But our guy, Anthony Edwards, is just a jewel. And I think that the NBA should do something where they offer up like maybe for, you know, subscription or whatever. A couple times a week, right? You have your favorite guys mic'd up and you get to hear just the whole situation on the court. And they can send it to you in podcast form or whatever the case may be. It's behind a paywall. I'm just helping out the NBA. I know you guys need more revenue streams. I know that the amount of money that you got from the TV revenue wasn't right. You need more. Here's another way for you guys to make money. Man, live streaming or getting after the game, just the live uncut version of just conversations that Anthony Edwards are having on the court. Yes, I will pay for that. Yes, I will pay for that. For sure I will. And a lot of NBA fans would. There you go, NBA. I give you a lot of love. Now, the one thing I will say about Minnesota, it's going to take some time, just like with a lot of these other teams. It's going to take some time. The spacing is going to be janky. There's nothing we can say about that. Julius Randle is a historic, not a great three-point shooter. He's really streaky. He can get on streaks where it goes in and he can shoot something like 17 of 45 in like a 3A stretch or something like that. But it's not going to be ever consistent. So they're going to have to work around that. Now, the great thing about Julius Randle, and he made mention of it too, and I thought it was funny that he made mention of it. He's like, you know, you guys, I'm a good passer, right? Like, I know how to pass the ball. Remember, the team that was around Julius in New York before Brunson got there was a completely different team. He didn't get to play with all the toys that Jalen is getting to play with now. It was put upon him to go ahead and produce and get the 26, 27 points. So I think you're going to see a different style from Julius Randle. He's obviously motivated because he's in a contract year. Now, I don't know if he'll necessarily still be in Minnesota when it all said and done by the end of this year. But I will say this, is that I do have a lot of faith in Chris Finch figuring out this offense. He was also with Julius Randle down in New Orleans. So I think if anybody knows how to get the best out of Julius Randle, it's going to be Minnesota head guy, Chris Finch. And I think Anthony Edwards as a fiery leader will also keep Julius engaged the whole time. Because if he was looking for Rudy Gobert for inspiration, that's definitely not going to happen. And again, I don't need to ask this question because I think it just is. But Rudy Gobert is the most hated man in the NBA. I've never seen people just line up to want to dunk on this dude. But Anthony Davis took it personal. He took it so personal that Rudy Gobert was guarding. And, you know, you saw some of De'Aaron Fox. Keegan Murray got some last night against Rudy or whatever. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his face. I don't know if he's French. I don't know if he's aloof. I don't know what it is. But NBA players do not like Rudy Gobert, and they look for any chance to try to embarrass him in any in-game opportunity that they get. Just saying. You're throwing that out. Just watch the games. Fine, you know, just watch it. Now, the next thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the NBA draft that is coming up. And I have been watching some of the clips and some of the tape that I've been getting my hands on. Cooper Flagg is what they say he is, dude. I don't know if you caught any of it, like their little exhibition game they had, or just some of the clips like in practice. He's a physical talent. He has a lot of athleticism. You know, I think it's going to surprise other people, but people who've been watching for like 3 years, we know his acumen for defense is so beyond where he should be. Like, he anticipates people's spots better than I've ever seen somebody under 22 years of age do it. And then his offensive game is not as primitive as I thought it was. There's a nice jump shot. The three-point shot looks really good. I haven't seen it with a ton of volume yet, but the shot looks really good. There's a good form to it. He can handle the ball. I wouldn't say he's the greatest handler of the ball, but you can definitely use him as second side. If you just put him at the nail, he can find people, he can locate. There's so much to like about this kid. Now, the season's going to start in November, and there'll be a ton of us people who talk about draft all the time, and they'll nick, right? You'll find things. That's what your whole job is, to find things. I will tell you, yeah, probably find some stuff, but this kid is one of those kids that I think is going to get it. He's going to get it fairly early, and we're going to see some real cool things out of him, out of Duke, and we can't wait just kind of really get a lot of more tape on him when the season and the bullets are flying long. Can't wait. Another guy that I want to talk about is Ace Bailey. Now, Ace Bailey played in a preseason game against St. John's, and he looked awesome. He handled it. His dribble was tight for somebody 6'10". He shot the ball like a 5-year vet in the NBA. He has a nice little mid-range situation. He definitely has the athleticism to get to the rim. There's three-point shooting potential with him. The shot, the stroke looks good. There's a lot to like about Ace Bailey. He's also a really good rim protector. I think that there are some instinctual things that maybe be kind of tightened up or whatever, or some principal things that maybe once he gets those locked in, he'll be better on that end. But it's just sheer athleticism, the way he gets after it. It's really fun to watch. And he and Dylan Harper of Rutgers is going to be must-see when it comes to the Big Ten and how they're going to get down this year. Can't wait to see UCLA and Rutgers go at it. Now, we've talked a lot on this podcast about Nolan Traore, but I just want to say, he just put up 45 points in the game. Light work for our guy, Nolan Traore. I've been singing his praises. I know a lot of people want me to talk about VJ Edgecombe, and I will. Trust me, we will get to him. We will have a lot of VJ Edgecombe coverage here on this podcast, because I like VJ Edgecombe. But Nolan Traore is a different cat. Okay, he's a different cat in a lot of ways. One, he does not shy away from the spotlight whatsoever. The bigger the challenge, the more ready he is. He is not afraid to tell teammates what he thinks they should be doing at 18 years of age to 26 and 27-year-old men. And then just when you think, like, oh, I heard a scout say, passing the vision, he's two steps ahead. I just want to see the offensive game come to life. I was like, whoa, hold on. No, the offensive game is there. He's just trying to get people involved. Well, Traore showed up recently and said, hey, you know what? In this Adidas Next Level generation tournament. It's time for Nolan to get Nolan's. And he did with 45 points. He's very competitive. He's very astute at the game. He's kind of slight because he's young. But this kid has a tenacity of like a maniacalness to him about his game that I really love. And it's just going to get better. And the unfortunate part is that he's going to be over in France all year. He's playing for basketball of France. It's a EuroLeague team. We will be watching like clips. I don't know if they'll have the same type of coverage that they did with Victor Wembanyama when we had a bunch of EuroLeague games and we saw Victor. But Nolan Traore, if you can get YouTube clips, if you can get game footage on him, it is a must watch. So I recommend it highly, highly. And then the last guy that we're going to talk about is a teammate of Cooper Flag, and this is Cayman of Duke. Now, Cayman came over from the NBA Academy in Africa. He's known for his athleticism, defensive prowess, which he's displayed at Duke already. This is what an analyst said. These players bring a mix of scoring, athleticism, defensive skill, making 2025 class one of the ones that we need to follow closely with the progression once they get into the league. Now, what makes Malik very special is that he moves his feet. He is not I can just do drop coverage type of guy. No, I can switch out to a wing on brief occurrences. If I get stuck on a guard or what have you, I can probably handle that until we can make the switch. His rim protection is what makes him very special because his wingspan is 7'8". And he's very quick off his feet. He's also very aggressive when it comes to wanting to block shots. Now, does it get him in a little bit of foul trouble? From the games that I did see before he came over, it did a little. It was, who am I trying to think? Who was the kid a couple years ago just got in just crazy foul trouble all the time? He wasn't Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, he wasn't that type of guy where foul. Or Jackson Hayes of the Lakers. Like, Jackson Hayes seems to be a magnet towards fouls. Malik is not that. He is super aggressive. We need to tell him not to try to jump over people as much as he does. Those type of things. But he's going to grab rebounds. He can set a pick. He can roll to the rim very hard. If you put him in the dunker spot and you lose him, that's 2 points. That's what's going to happen. And what you hope is that under the system in Duke is that he just absorbs the principles and he gets more comfortable and he's able to kind of arrange the defense and get himself, you know, into that like late lottery type of situation. He has that potential. Now, do I think he'll be the quintessential big? Is he going to be like Joel Embiid? No. But could he have an effective career being like Clint Capella? Yeah, absolutely. Maybe Clint Capella with a little more athleticism? Who knows? But he's one to watch. And I think also working off all the array of talent that Duke has, because Duke covers overflow. It's in abundance. They're going to be tough to play against, but he could be the key to what they could do and how far they could go in the actual tournament. Now, the rest of them can help them throughout the regular year, but if you want to do something in a tournament, having that deterrent thrill is a vital piece, and it can kind of hone it where he's not wild anymore, then you really got some. So we'll look to see about body control, aggressiveness, but maybe vertical in just going straight up vertical, you know, getting those principles down and just continuing to see him move his feet and also see him move his feet against better competition is always good to see. So it just gives us like, oh, okay, we can check that box, make sure this is right, and then go on from there. But if we start to see people kind of go down, then we start to see, okay, all right, now he's stepped up in talent. Maybe the gifts aren't as clean as we thought they were. So those are the things that we're checking out early on as we start getting closer and closer to the college basketball season and also overseas. But can't wait to check out Duke. They're going to be on TV a lot. Cougar flag is amazing. And the rest of the dudes that they got, I don't want to shortchange them because I think 4 Dukies in the top 25 right now, they're stacked, they're ready to go, and it should be a good season. Now, with all that being said, we're going to get up out of here. It is Friday. There are games coming on like right now that I want to see. So I'm about to blow this popsicle stand. I'd like to thank my producers, Funch and Soraya, for the job they've done. I would also like to thank you guys, the audience, because we do this for you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You know where to get all the NBA fix that you need, right? Front Runner Podcast Collective. And with that being said, the best part of you is you. Make sure that the people that surround you are just doing everything in their power to illuminate your light. And then as your light illuminates, go out and do some good with it. Make sure, you know, you're recognizing the people that you need to recognize, and also recognize those who may be lost. And then with that, we'll see you back on this feed on Monday. Deuce.